Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nokian Tyres conference call. For the first part of the conference, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Please note that this call is being recorded. I'll now hand the floor to Päivi Antola. Please begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon from Helsinki. My name is Päivi Antola. I am the Head of Investor Relations and Communications at Nokian Tyres. In the call with me, I have Hille Korhonen, the President and CEO of Nokian Tyres, and Teemu Kangas-Kärki, the CFO of the company. So this is already almost a tradition that we are having this call. This is the third end-of-quarter conference call what we are organizing, and the idea with the call is really to go through some of the burning questions what you may have in mind, and also the most frequent questions what we have received during the quarter. We will start the call with a brief introduction by Hille and then go over to questions. So Hille, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. We have been presenting our three-year plan recently in our Capital Markets Day, and this is the plan we have been now reviewing when visiting some of the capital markets. I would like to take some highlights out of that. So, of course, the whole plan is based on our growth targets and really entering the next stage of growth in our company. We have very strong platform for growing. We have been successfully growing already in Russia and in the Nordics, and now this next stage of growth is being supported by factory investment in North America. Through that, we are able to grow not only in North America, but maintain and further improve our strong market position in the Nordics. We will aim at growing as the market is expected to grow in Russia, which is the second home market for us. Through the capacity, which will be then released from the Russian factory, we are also able to support the growth in Central Europe. Our growth will be focusing on growing first of all, in the winter areas in Russia and in the Nordics, in Central Europe as well, which is the biggest winter tire area in the world. We will also be growing in all-season and summer tires, in all-season tires, especially in North America. All in all, high-margin winter tires will continue to be our core business which is today 70% of our total business in passenger car tires, and we are not seeing any major difference in the coming 3 years in the share of winter tires. All in all, we will continue to deliver profitable growth ahead of the market as we see our possibilities to grow, especially in Central Europe and North America, where our market share is still on a very low level.
Good. Thank you, Hille. That was basically pretty much the main message what we had in our Capital Markets Day early November, and which we organized here in Helsinki, after which we have been traveling quite a lot. So we have been seeing investors in New York, in Boston, Frankfurt, Paris, and London. And before getting the questions, what you may have in the audience, I thought that we could start with a couple of questions what we have, which have clearly been the most frequently ones in the meetings. One would be, in a way, a follow-up to what you, Hille, said earlier about growing in the U.S. We are building the factory in Dayton, which will be operating in 2020, starting 2020. And one question what we have received in different formats has been, what happens to the Russian supply once Dayton is up and running?
We will start the commercial deliveries from Dayton factory beginning of 2020. It will take roughly 2 years, so until end of 2022, until we will have all the 4 million tires capacity in place. And while ramping up the factory, we will still continue to deliver goods from Russian factory. So it means that it will be a gradual shift from Russian factory to Dayton factory, transferring the SKUs that are dedicated to the North American market. And while doing that, we see growth potential in Russia. That market, to our understanding, will grow roughly 6% per year. And also we have growth opportunities in Central Europe. So the volume will be then directed to both Russian market and Central European market.
Then I have a couple of questions which are maybe more for Teemu Kangas-Kärki, the CFO, to answer. And the first one is about CapEx. What will be the CapEx in the coming years?
So we have been indicating this year's CapEx level to be around 250 million, then increasing next year to a level of 300 million, and then gradually decreasing. And just to reminding us, the three main projects that we are having as we speak is the Dayton factory expansion, $360 million, test center in Spain, around 60 million euros, and then the heavy tires manufacturing expansion in Finland, about 70 million euros, in addition to the accelerated product pipeline development.
Thank you. And Teemu, if you can continue with explaining the balance sheet and the target for that.
We are quite okay with our current balance sheet as it is, as long as we are able to maintain the high return on capital employed, which has been on a level of 20% in the recent years. And then in terms of using the cash flow, we want to support the growth expansions in terms of capital expenditure, but at the same time, as you can see from our track record, we have been maintaining or slightly increasing our dividends in the recent years.
Thank you. And now, operator, we could check if there are any questions from the audience, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now to enter the queue. Once your name is announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 if you need to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Sasha Dommel of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my questions. The first one would actually be on the current demand situation. When we look at Europe and particularly the Scandinavian markets, the OE demand is quite weak, and I remember you mentioned in the last quarterly call that due to the fact that most customers buy a car with summer tires and winter tires, I was wondering if you can update us how you see that demand factor evolving currently. My second question would be on raw materials. They've been coming down quite a bit over the last weeks. I was wondering, looking into 2019, how you see your raw material headwind slash tailwind phasing over the quarters in 2019. And then very lastly, the consensus expectations came down post the capital market day a bit. Are you happy now with consensus for the next 2 years? Thank you.
So thank you for the question. I will start by answering the demand situation in the Nordics and in Central Europe. As we have stated, the implementation of WLTP has an impact on the new car sales, and especially in the Nordics, when people are buying new cars, they are buying also winter tires because the new cars come with summer tires. So that has been impacting our sales during this autumn, and I would say that it's still visible because the new car sales has been going down in both Norway and Finland, and especially in Sweden.
And then there was a question about the raw materials. We have not guided 2019 yet, but Teemu, is there something, some kind of color you could give on the raw material development?
Yeah. So if we look our raw material development this year on a net level, including the currency impact, we have been slightly down from previous year. Excluding the currency, we have seen growth in our raw material cost, and we are expecting that to increase also in 2019. Some of the raw materials are decreasing, others are decreasing, but the overall raw material basket, as we see it, we expect that to increase next year.
Thank
and then you have the third question regarding the consensus. We feel that now the consensus is directionally on a right ballpark.
That's great. Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Panu Laitinmäki of Danske Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I was still wanted to ask about the Q4 outlook and what you have seen in terms of the market pricing and competition, and maybe a follow-up to the raw material question. Do you think that this decline in the oil price will kind of put pressure on your sales prices in 2019? So do you see it as a positive or negative overall?
Well, I would not like to comment the fourth quarter sales at this point of time, so we are sticking to our guidance.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Artem Beletski of SCB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, this is Artem from SCB. I actually have two questions. So the first one is relating to Russia and how do you see the market basically developing in 2019? I know that you're having quite, so to say, expect quite nice growth long term, but do you expect any meaningful impact from increased VAT starting from next year? And looking at Q4, these inventory issues, what you mentioned relating to summer tires, are those basically pretty much in line as you have expected in the past? Or has it been better or worse, so to say? And the last one is just a quick question relating to tax case in Finland. Has there been any news relating to it recently or some development?
If we start with the Russian development, of course, at this point of the year, it is a bit challenging for us to comment on 2019 as we have not guided next year. But Hille, maybe you could somehow, in a way, comment on the inventory levels, what we said after summer, that they were elevated, and how that will impact 2019 in Russia.
Mm. So, as we know, the summer tire inventories are on a higher level compared to normal situation after the last season. and it will have an impact on the sell-in during this fourth quarter and the first quarter 2019, and we are expecting that situation to normalize after next summer season. So the inventory situation should come back to normal towards the end of the year. And at this point of time, it's too early to make any statements yet about the winter tire inventories because the season is not yet over. What comes to the VAT impact, that's also still a bit question mark. It might have an impact on the new car sales, increasing the new car sales towards end of the year. But at this point of time, we have been estimating new car sales to be roughly between 12% and 15%, and we are sticking to that understanding.
And then with regards to the tax case, there are no new news, so we are still waiting the decision from the higher administrative court. So we are waiting for that.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yuri Razanen of OB Group. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. Yuri is here. Still question on CapEx and U.S. factory investments. Could you please remind us how much of the total investment amount has been allocated for 2019 and then 2020?
So we haven't broken down the total amount by years, but clearly next year with all the other projects as communicated, that will be the peak year in our CapEx spending, then decreasing in 2020.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now to enter the queue. And we have one further question coming through at this point. That's from Patty Weissinen of Nordea Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Pasi from Nordea. Well, just to confirm, is this 22% group level EBIT margin guidance actually also valid for 19 for next year, regardless of the growth investments going on? And also, do I understand right that you said that fourth quarter consensus EBIT is on the right ballpark? And if it's so could you actually please elaborate a little bit about the volume and price effect for the sales and EBIT on the fourth quarter? Thanks.
If I start with the consensus, my comment wasn't specifically for Q4, but general for the coming years, relating to the capital markets communication, what we made. And now I...
There was a question about the EBIT target of 22%,
yeah.
Also for 2019.
Yeah, so the financial targets that we gave out was for the next strategy period for these 3 years, so not only for 1 year.
So just to confirm, so 22% is still valid and you believe it for the 19 also?
At the level of 22 for the next 3 years is valid.
Okay, great. And the last question was about the volume and price effect for the fourth quarter. Do you have any kind of comments for that?
We don't want to comment at this stage the Q4.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Olaf Sederholm of ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. It's Olaf from ABG. Just a couple of bookkeeping questions. First, after the Dayton investment have been completed, what would you say your maintenance capex will amount to? in sort of in the long term? And also, could you talk a little bit about where your tax rate is going? We will soon have detailed 2021 forecasts in there, and how should we think about the tax rate long term? Thanks.
With regards to maintenance capex, we have indicated in the capital market day material that that should be on a, roughly on a level of 125 million, so increase from current 100 million. And then regarding the tax rate, the current level around 20% as a tax rate is a good expectation for the near years.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ashok Krian of Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple. The first is in 2017 and 2018, you mentioned that you were able to gain or increase your market share in Russia because the competitors have been a bit slow to ramp up the production in Russia. Just wondering whether in the recent months or so, have you seen an increased activity from your competitors in terms of trying to regain some of the lost share?
Well, overall, if we look at our market share in Russia at the moment, it's the highest ever. So we are in winter tires roughly on the level of 40% in A and B segments together, and in summer tires on the level of 20% in A and B segments. It's still too early to comment on the market share development because we are not end of the year yet, and we don't have the statistics, but it seems that the availability of products in Russian market has been on a good level, but too early to comment anything about the market share development.
Okay, and then in the US, there's been at least two rounds of price increases announced by most of the market players. I know you are more of a niche player, but have you participated in the price increases in the U.S.?
Yes, we have. So we have been increasing prices during this autumn, and some price increases have taken place already before the competition.
This last question for me. Normally, at least based on my understanding, when a tire maker ramps up production, the initial units are contracted for OE because it helps them ramp it up on a more structured way. Now, you have zero exposure to OE, especially in the US. So is there some sort of a pre-buy arrangement that you have with distributors in the US in terms of, you know, when the first lots come out of Dayton, are you going to be assured of a buyer for those units?
As we are 100% in the replacement market, it means that all the production we are producing is going to our independent distributors or wholesale customers. And we don't have any specific arrangements for the ramp-up phase because all the quantities are guaranteed for them either from our Dayton factory or from the Russian factory.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from line of Cam Mueller of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you very much for taking your time. Just a quick one on this point that Ashik made earlier as well on the market shares. Have you seen any sort of changes in your competitive environment in the winter tire space? Because I remember you were a bit more cautious in terms of your winter tire volumes, whilst some of your competitors, especially Continental, have been a bit more upbeat on winter tires. Is that something you can see them trying to gain more share in some of your regions?
Well, when we look at the competitive environment, it's actually good that all the suppliers and manufacturers are coming up with new products, because usually the quality and safety is improving. We definitely are confident that we are ahead of the competition, and one key advantage for us is that as 70% of our total volume is winter tires, we are building our whole business model around that. And that means that in the season, we are in a very good position to guarantee the availability of the products to supply our retailers and wholesalers as well.
Perfect. And then, just in terms of the question, obviously you did the Capital Markets Day and met a lot of investors following that. What were the sort of the questions around possibly the Spain investment, the $60 million for your summer tire and, you know, all season tire testing? In the long run, why do you do it? I mean, how much would we think 2030 Nokian would be winter tires versus all season versus summer?
In the big picture, the share of winter tires out of our total business in passenger car tires will not be changing. So today we are on the level of 70%, and in the coming 3 years, the 70% is still valid, because we are definitely not growing only in all season and summer tires, but definitely in winter tires.
But for that, you need the Russian market to grow nicely, because market share gains are more challenging. Is that correct, if I understood you earlier?
Yes, our assumption is based on the fact that we believe that the Russian market will be gradually recovering. We are on a very low level today with new car sales. Roughly, it will be 1.8 million cars sold this year, whereas the highest level has been 3 million cars sold in 2012. So our belief is that as we are on a such low level in new car sales, the market will gradually recover. And one-third of the replacement market is being impacted by the new car sales. So there is a clear correlation to the replacement market. And the other two-thirds is impacted by the replacement of tires for cars, and the cycle is 3 to 4 years on average.
Perfect. No, thank you very much. Have a nice holiday break.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Panu Laitinmäki of Danske Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to ask two things about your volumes. Can you give a number? What is your current level of sales volume in North America? And then secondly, when you get this Dayton factory up and running and you move the volume out from Russian factory, you have mentioned that it kind of reduces the complexity. So what is the kind of effective increase in the production capacity of the Russian factory once you get the North American SKUs out from that? Thank you.
So our current volume that we are shipping from Russian factory to North America is roughly 2 million tires, and the capacity of Dayton factory will be 4 million tires end of 2020. So that means that we will be releasing roughly 2 million tires capacity from Russian factory to support the growth in Russia and Central Europe. The impact of reducing complexity, that's a bit tricky to estimate, since we will also need to have more sizes and more products to support the growth in Central Europe. But there is some potential, I would say.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Once again, if there are further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. As there are no further questions at this time, I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Thank you. So if there are no additional questions, I would like to thank you all for participating. Have a nice holiday break and talk to you all again in 2019. Thank you.